Hello and welcome to this edition of Damn Art Majors,
the hotel room edition.
We are back from our trip to Heroes Con.
Yes, we are.
We are worn out, but you know what?
Exhausted.
You guys are in for a treat. We met some really great artists. We had a blast. We were taking pictures, giving out stickers. We were marketing. We were hitting the streets hard, man.
Yep.
And Aaron is not with us, but he was there, and you will hear him later on in the show. We're just kind of chilling out, relaxing. And we're going to start this episode this way we start every episode with, what you drinking?
Well,
Dutters, Adam, what do you got?
I am drinking 12 fluid ounces of lovely PBR because Charlotte, while being a interesting city, is sort of expensive when it comes to booze. So even this PBR is pricey.
And I am rocking a Coca-Cola Cherry Zero.
Fancy.
Yeah. Coke Zero is a little flat tasting, but you know what? It's not bad. So anyway, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. And, you know, special thanks to everyone who helped us get here and do it.
And thanks for everyone out there who took a sticker and who's now listening right now.
Oh, all the new listeners.
Yeah,
definitely.
Thank you.
Hey, enjoy.
Yeah.
Aaron and I.
Hello, I'm Aaron.
This really isn't an intro. We'll do a real intro with what's your drink? What you drinking?
Adam and I are apparently drinking Kickstart.
Kickstart, so. Fruit punch.
That's good enough.
All right, let's go walk around this joint. Okay, so this is day two at Heroes Con. We are very late to the party, but there is more than enough happening. There are pictures, there are people, there are comics. There are toys and artists and everything one could hope would be at Heroes Con. All right, let's see what kind of trouble we can get into. Nice. Just walked by people dressed as Death Becomes Her. I have never seen anyone dressed as Death Becomes Her. All right. We are now technically set up again. So we're here with Daniel Govar, illustrator, master drawer, if you will. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So how's Heroes Con treating you?
Oh, it's great. This is always one of my favorite shows. I make sure to do it every year and always submit a piece for the art auction, which I'm working on right now.
I see you got a really awesome How to Train Your Dragon piece that you're in the middle of.
Yeah, I had a hard time figuring out which one to do this year, and originally I was going to do a Daenerys with Viserion, her dragon, but after talking to a few artists here at the con, almost everyone is doing one of those for the art auction. So I decided to do, go the other direction with dragons and just make one that's real fun.
You do many different styles. Including superheroes, a lot of medieval stuff. Is there something you favor?
Not really. It's really just whatever speaks to you. I mean, if it's something, I love fantasy. I love sci-fi. I like some horror. It's really whatever kind of evokes that emotion or you know pulls you in that direction. For me, it tends to be. There's always some sort of a fantasy bent. To a lot of the pieces that I, or a lot of the things that I gravitate towards. And I like to see in a lot of the, you know, superhero stuff that I work on and the stuff that people commission me for, I always make it a point to have that fantasy aspect in there. Like for Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, I just did some work with Marvel on that. And, you know, I loved how it's like a mixture of fantasy and sci-fi.
Right, right. You're a big touring artist. I mean, this is probably, the third or fourth time you and I've had a run-in together.
Right.
How do you balance work and the road?
That's actually a really good question. It's tough. Sometimes it's really hard. I got to make hard choices. I've only ever bowed out of one convention that I originally was planned on doing. And it really came down to workload. I just had too much on my plate and, you know, had to meet deadlines. So the real thing is scheduling. I schedule everything, even, you know, commissions. I have spreadsheets for commissions.
Oh, wow. Very organized.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a road dog? Do you love the road? Or
I do and I don't. It's funny that you say road dog, because the thing I miss most about going on the road is my dog.
Oh.
I mean, I hate it. It tears my heart out every time I have to say bye. And he has really bad separation anxiety.
Oh, man.
So it's brutal.
The place is a wreck when you get home?
No, I just make sure that I leave him with, I have a neighbor who's great and always watches my dog. He used to have a boxer. I have a boxer.
Oh, awesome.
He loves and misses his dog. So, you know, he loves watching mine whenever I go away.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
What kind of advice could you give someone who is trying to become sort of a freelance illustrator, you know, kind of do the things you do?
I would say do what you love and not necessarily what you think everyone else will love. In other words, focus on projects that if it's personal work, if you're trying to get your name out there, make sure you're prolific. Always post art, always show art online. Don't be afraid of sharing.
Awesome.
Share culture is, that's the way life
where
is
we're
now.
Living now, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Some people are very, make sure you put your name on it, copyright, this, that, and the other thing. And honestly, more eyes on your art when you're unknown is the most important thing.
Right on.
The other thing, though, would be focus on what you love. It'll come through when you'll be able to find more projects when you work on things that you love and not on things that you might necessarily not be into.
Awesome.
I've had my share of projects that, weren't necessarily my bag, and I've learned, lessons over the years not necessarily take everything.
Well, it seems like when you're starting out, and this is true for many different industries, especially client-based work, you take whatever you can get when you first start until you develop a reputation.
Yeah.
And it's around year three that you start to get a little more picky and choosy. Around year five, when you've developed yourself,
right,
that you get to choose your projects.
And see, the thing that the one note that I would say to that is the internet is like an elephant; it never forgets. So when you post stuff, on those projects that you might necessarily not be into, and you're taking whatever you can get,
right?
They'll never forget those things that you worked on. A friend of mine actually just sent me a note with a link to something I did years and years ago, and I just cringed. I was like, oh, that's right, I did that.
This is why I want to delete my DeviantArt from high school.
Oh, my. It's funny you mention that. I've actually started going through and deleting pieces, that are just not good representations of your work.
Yeah.
And you have to do that. You have to do a culling every once in a while.
You got to rope it in and realize what was the steps to get you to where you want to highlight yourself.
Exactly.
I go back to mine from time to time just for the sense of shame. Yeah, what's your favorite inanimate object to draw?
Favorite inanimate? Oh, man. That's a really hard question. Favorite inanimate objects to draw? I love drawing swords and armor in particular. I love studying suits of armor. They're kind of interesting. You have a form and a beauty to it, and it's kind of like drawing still lifes, but at the same time, a lot of my sea creatures and Poseidons and stuff like that, they always have these ornate armor pieces. There's a museum in Baltimore where I live called the Walters Art Gallery, and they have amazing pieces there of armor from different cultures and different eras. And I'll go there and just sit there and stare at some of the pieces that they have, like of Japanese, Bushido warriors. I mean, it's awesome. I would say armor.
It shows.
Awesome.
I guess one final question, because you got a line developing. Yeah. Name, describe your ideal sandwich. Your ideal dream sandwich.
My dream sandwich. I'm gonna go real simple. I'll say a French dip.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
I'll do real standard French dip, maybe with a little Borzin.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. What are you drinking with that sandwich?
Green tea.
Nice. Yeah. Classy.
I drink green tea like it's going out. I actually have two sitting right
here. Ah, there
here.
You go. And nice cup holder, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and continued success. And
you too. You too.
We'll see you around the con, man.
Awesome. Thanks much.
All right, we're here with David Williams, and he flagged us down because he noticed Aaron was rocking out as the Rocketeer, and he agreed to come on the show. How you doing, David?
I'm doing great, and yourself?
Doing well, doing well. A little out of breath, a lot going on. How's the con treating you?
Oh, I love Charlotte. This is the best con I've been to in a long time.
So what brings you out to the con today?
The people. I love this convention. It's very artist friendly, and I do well at it every year.
And what are you promoting? Do you got some prints here that you got? You got your artist book going on.
That's pretty much it. And whoever wants to get a commission or, you know, just talk comics and talk about, you know, what I'm up to. Currently doing a Wonder Woman story for DC Digital, and also doing some covers for IDW for G.I. Joe, and soon to be doing some work for Archie Comics.
Oh, very cool. Do you consider your enjoy doing more cover work than you do, say, like doing sequential art?
For me, yes, absolutely. I think I excel at doing covers and selling the book and selling the interior by first glance, and the first glance that you get is the cover. So
what would you say was probably your most interesting or your favorite commission anyone has ever asked you to do?
Wow, you know, people don't really get too wacky with, you know, requests anymore, because I think they get the picture that I'm all about superheroes and, you know, classic, you know, heroes, so they don't get too wild. You know, there have been some risky ones, but I can't mention it on this. I don't know if this is a X-rated show or R-rated show.
Our show is called Damn Art Majors. You can say whatever you want.
Well, okay. Well, many years ago, there was this guy who wanted some fetishy type things going on with Catwoman and Batman at a show, but there were kids around, and there's no way I'm drawing that at a show.
Yeah, I can see how, you know, maybe if you call in advance and you could do it, you know, in your studio and bring it. But yeah, you definitely don't want to scare anyone away.
Yeah. Well, I try to tend to draw stuff that's friendly for everybody. So I'm kind of like an all-inclusive type of artist.
Very cool. You got any questions?
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you the same question I'm going to ask everybody today, which is what's your favorite inanimate object to draw?
My favorite inanimate object to draw. Does Captain America's shield count? Okay. That works. I like drawing the Rocketeer helmet. I don't know. Batarangs.
And then, so we asked Daniel what his favorite sandwich was. We asked Daniel Govar.
Okay.
We just had an interview with Daniel Govar, and we asked him what his favorite sandwich is. So now we're going to go ahead and ask you, name your ideal pizza.
My ideal pizza. This is going to be very California, but pepperoni and pineapple
nice on
a pizza. So that's me.
Right on.
I'm good.
Very cool. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and hope you have a great convention.
I'm having a great one, and thank you for coming by.
No problem.
Do you mind if I look through some of your work?
Oh,
let's look
at your work.
Also.
Hi, con guests. How are you enjoying the con today?
It's lovely. It's so beautiful. The aroma of, like, shame and the neckbeards are absolutely glorious. It really is just beautiful people watching here today.
And how about you, miss?
I love children, Doctor Who's.
All right. And what brings you out, other than neckbeards and children who dress like Doctor Who?
Mostly that.
Okay. And would you like to join our band of people and give out stickers to help promote the podcast in which everyone seems to be a part of?
I don't really listen to to podcasts.
Well, it's like internet radio. Right, like you listen to the radio, right?
Radio on the internet? That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure you're talking crazy there, sir.
We're on iTunes. Do you have an iPod?
No, not...
Can I get it on hi-fi?
I don't know what that is. Yes. Do you can?
Do you cut vinyl discs?
We do. We're also featured on Zune. Do you have a Zune? You don't have a Zune. Hey! There's some other con people. Hey, look! It's con people. Hey, con people.
Hey.
This is Chris Wooten here. And Sam.
Hello.
Chris, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well. How's the podcasting going?
It's day two, and we're exhausted, but having a blast.
Good. Sounds awesome. I like your hardware.
What brings you out today?
You guys, actually.
Really?
Sam, yeah. Majors, all the way.
I mean, you were going to sit at home all day and do nothing?
Yet, quite yet, but... all right, well, I'm here with EC Steiner.
Yes.
I'm here at Heroes Con in Charlotte, and I was drawn to your table primarily because of 3D work. I myself studied sculpture at ECU, so I guess just tell me a little bit about what it is that you do.
Sure. Well, primarily I'm an independent artist. I used to do work with an emphasis on doing garage kits and monster models for concept art, for entertainment development, like film maquettes and things of that nature. And really what I decided to do was just kind of branch off and do my own thing, kind of treat it as artist's brand. So I handle all my own concept design, all my own production, all my own distribution, and just put out unique one-of-a-kind works that have kind of a macabre and strange bent to them.
Well, if you don't mind, we'll take a picture of your booth and setup, and we'll definitely show it to the listeners. But it's definitely very nice. So you said earlier that you originally were teamed up, I guess, with companies, but now you've branched off entirely independent.
Well, initially I was just kind of working commission-based, okay. You know, working with different people, like you meet at comic book shows who are looking for designs, taking their characters and having them rendered in a 3D way, or providing some type of a base prototype that they can use and take to toy companies and have something built off of that. But I just found over time with, you know, working a day job and then doing this at night, you really start having to prioritize your projects and figure out what's really important to you as an artist. And it was less about working with other people as much as trying to really develop my own style, my own brand, and putting that out there.
Excellent. I can definitely relate to that. So now you pretty much, it is all your design. It is all your work now that you're pretty much selling right now. How could people go to see your artwork and get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Well, I'm online, obviously, at a website called casketglass.com. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, on Instagram, which is a great place to just kind of showcase your own work if you're coming up as an artist, but also network with other creators. But I'm also on a great forum called the Shiflet Brothers Forum. If you're familiar with Brandon and Jared Shiflet, they have a website, and they do a great job mentoring young sculptors who are coming up or people who have transitioned into sculpture from maybe 2D arts or other creative sources, and they do a great job mentoring, and that's a very active forum that people can join, and I participate in that as well.
And what's your Twitter handle?
It's Casket Glass as well.
Okay. At Casket Glass?
Yes, at Casket Glass.
Excellent. And just for the listeners here, I walked up. I'm assuming that is Sculpey?
Actually, no. This is Chavant NSP okay. Medium, which is a great material primarily used in the special effects industry. I like it because I can work with it very quickly without applying a lot of heat or other solvents to smooth it out. It makes for a great demo piece while you're working here. People come up and ask questions and want to put their hands on it too, and you know, work around with it, get a feel for the entire process.
And now your finished pieces, are they primarily cast resin?
Yes, primarily. These pieces over here, which obviously people can't see right yet.
We'll take a picture.
Oh, sure. What's great about them is they're actually a two-part epoxy, and I use that more for the maquette pieces and the concept designs because there's just do it once, and I can work on it and build it up as I'm going. But primarily my individual work is done in either monster clay or Chavant, molded in silicone, cast in resin, and then I do my finishing with either epoxy, Aves Epoxy Sculpt, or Magic Sculpt.
Very nice. And I know I don't, most of my work primarily is large-scale metal steel fabrication woodworking. I know that one of the advantages with this setup is it's a little bit smaller. Are you able to, like, do you actually work out of your own set up at home?
I do. I have an upstairs studio where I do most of the design work and most of the sculpting, and then I have converted my garage into an actual manufacturing workshop where I have two pressure pots running, and I do all my mixing of chemicals and all my airbrushing, sanding, things like that to keep it from, you know, fouling up the rest of the house.
Excellent. See, people, the things artists do their craft.
All right, well, thanks. Any last thoughts to leave the listeners with?
Certainly, if you get into sculpting, start small. Make sure you measure your success so you can build momentum of success. Don't go in full bore. And if you do and you struggle, just kind of take a couple steps back, start small, be happy with what you complete, and then get on to the next project.
Very cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, it was great meeting you.
Yeah, it was really good to meet you.
Okay.
We're here with Georges Genty, one of the main illustrators for Buffy and the new Serenity comic. How are you doing? Thanks for making some extra time for us today.
Not at all. We got nothing but time here at con, so it's my pleasure.
Awesome. What brings you out today?
To the con or just in general? I've done Heroes show for like 20 years now, so I've missed a couple of years here and there, but it's pretty much a staple con for me.
Well, every time you're here, I try to come and meet you and hang out with you for a bit.
Thank you.
So I was hoping you could kind of go into a little insight on some of the challenges you face while dealing with licensed properties, characters that are based off of actual people, coming off X-Men, getting involved with the Buffy show, you know, going from fictional characters to actual actors. Was there like a big transitional phase, or do you find it easier when you have actors to work with?
It's a little easier if you're like references, because with Buffy, you know, I could always look at Sarah Michelle Gellar and go, okay, I know what Buffy looks like.
Right.
And in very many forms, there she is. I have not had, and I know I hear the horror stories about doing licensed properties. A lot of the actors don't like what they do, or the publishers are not that. I had no problems whatsoever. But I think that's because all I ever had to do was answer to Joss Whedon. And if Joss said it was okay, then it was okay. There was really no discussion about it.
He's a good boss to have, I hear.
He was good. Well, certainly with the Buffy and Serenity stuff. Yeah, if he's like, well, does Joss like it? Yeah. All right, then just let it go through.
You had been working on Buffy for the last
six years.
Is it refreshing to jump over to another franchise? Are you jonesing to get back to season 10 of Buffy?
No. It was refreshing. I loved it. But 6 years is a lot to do anything, really. So for 6 years, I loved what I was doing. And I'm not now, and it's gratifying to be doing something else. But I don't ever think Buffy will be too far away from me. So I do say I'm glad to be off it, with the eye of saying I probably will come back at some point.
And I remember listening to other interviews where you didn't believe at first that Joss was reaching out to you. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was just a hoax that they're throwing out this big name guy to get this little guy to come in and work for them.
And what kind of feeling was that when you found out that?
It was great, but I wasn't. I mean, and I know now with the Avengers and all, there's this become this mystique about Joss Whedon. Oh, he's my master now.
But back then, he was just Joss Whedon, not Joss Whedon.
Yeah, back then, and rightly so, he was more that's the Buffy guy. You know,
right.
While he was big in certain circles, I think the general public was still very, very subtle about it. Not, you know, as big as it's now. And I was, it's not that I was overwhelmed or underwhelmed. I just treated him like a guy who said, hey, I like your work. Would you like to work together?
Sure.
I was like, yeah, sure. So there wasn't that, oh, my God, wait, hold. Give me a moment, Mr. Whedon. I'll do this. And not to say he doesn't deserve that, but
right.
I guess I'm not that kind of guy. And if you approach me to say, hey, I'd love to work with you, I may be a fan of yours, but I'll sort of geek out for that moment and then go, okay, well, what do you want to do? How do you want to approach this? What's the deadline? What does it pay? You know, I get very clinical in
sure.
that sense.
I also know, especially going through the Buffy books and the new Serenity book, you love giant splash pages, filling up the panels with characters that are all very unique.
I do.
I've seen a lot of your stuff where there is 20 plus people on a single panel.
Well, a lot of that is in the script too. So, I mean, and yeah, I was telling somebody who was here, I like to tell my stories as if I'm filming a movie. And yeah, and you know, when there's that big, like the Serenity ship is landing and just in the neck of time, you know, you think, well, yeah, it should be big for one, and it should be detailed because you want to sort of take in the breath of it all. So I may be sitting there thinking, I'm the guy who actually has to do this, so I'm kicking myself in the ass for even suggesting something like that.
Biting off too much thing.
Because you're right, it'll take way too much time. But as a director, I'm thinking, if I can do this, though, it's going to look really cool. You know, or if whoever's doing it, if they do it that way, it's going to look really, really cool.
Very cool. I know Aaron, who has just finished reading, getting caught up, has been jonesing to ask you some questions as well. He is also on the podcast.
Aaron, please, step forward and make yourself known.
Hey, I just finished issues. What is the password?
What is your favorite color?
I'm going to guess.
What is the square root? Monty Python.
Yes. So I just finished issues 1, 2, and 3 of Leaves on the Wind.
Of which?
Leaves on the Wind.
Leaves on the Wind. Surrender.
Phenomenal. Love the artwork. It's fantastic. There's a lot of inanimate objects all throughout the...
Inanimate meaning?
Just objects. Things in the room, things in people's hands, things on the belts. What's your favorite to draw?
On the ship or where about? In Serenity or just in general?
Sure, in Serenity.
Well, Serenity, as I'm sure you all know, and if you're a fan, you know this too. A lot of people consider that ship to be like a character in itself.
Yeah.
So I referred... I was really heavy on the reference that was already established. So I wouldn't really put anything... Like, I wouldn't put a TARDIS in Kaylee's room because I don't think Kaylee would be into Doctor Who type of a thing. So I really tried to stay accurate from the TV show and the movies. Whatever was in there I thought was fair game. And if I understood what those characters are into or liked, or, you know, like Jane, he may not have had a couple of guns on his wall, but you can definitely say, oh, okay, that character, I can totally see him hanging his guns somewhere in particular. So... If you're true to the character, I think you can splurge on certain backgrounds. But for this, since it was really my first time and getting to know the universe and really walking around that whole area, I was trying to stay pretty accurate. Like Mal's room, funny enough, we spend a lot of time there, but in the TV show, I think you see it once for a few seconds.
Yeah. You see him get knocked out.
And you see him get knocked, and that's pretty much it. Almost all from the same angle. Mm-hmm. So I'm always going, well, what the hell's on the left side? Turn the camera over there. Make me see what's over there. So I really not took liberties, but I tried to extrapolate what was here to logically conclude that this would be on that side then. Okay. So
you made it a point to emphasize everything.
Emphasize what I could within the room, If it was germane to the script, of course, there was going to be that. But if it's just a background thing, I'm kind of like, okay, well, you know, this is the kind of lamp he has. All right, I'll put that lamp in there.
Yeah, one thing I loved in particular was, I think it was the first panel of the first issue. That's a downward angle shot of the ship's console. And you see the two little dinosaurs.
Well, you know, there's obvious references for that,
excellent
too.
Touch.
And it's funny, because I really did, it's one of those things you think about. Mm-hmm. And I really did, because it wasn't written in the script. It was one of those things where you're going, okay, well, this is post-movie, Wash is dead. So what about the dinosaurs? Because now that River is flying the ship, well, maybe they're like, you know, this is too painful. Let's just put all of his stuff in a box. Or maybe it's too painful to Zoe. Every time she comes up here, she has to look at those dinosaurs, and she gets a little, you know, look, I got to go away. So I really thought about the practicality of having that. And then, at the end of the day, I really thought that River obviously has an association with him, whether it was emotional or not on screen. And I just reasoned that she has it there so that she's reminded that, you know, this is where the other pilot was. I want to live up to who that guy is. So I'm keeping that as a reminder of who. So in all honesty, you could say those dinosaurs are there for River. Everybody else hasn't really said anything. Hasn't said, oh, could you leave those dinosaurs there? You know, because if you really want to get into it, which I don't know why you would, but... River could have at any point sat on the other chair, and everyone said, no, this was Wash's place, let's respect it. But knowing Mal, he would have been like, Wash is dead. We run a ship. You know, sit here because this is the best place for the pilot to sit. Or this is where the pilot sits, and this is where the co-pilot sits. So, because she actually has flown the plane or the ship from the other side as well. So it's those little aesthetics that, as an artist, you think about. And logistically, you sort of try to make that conclusion, like, okay, well, this would go, and this would go, and this would go. because I really did change River. Obviously, she's wearing the same jumpsuit as Wash did. But for some reason, I thought when she's in the pilot seat, she puts up her hair. And she uses two chopsticks to do it. Because, yeah, she's, you know, whatever. I'm here. I don't need any distractions, you know, my hair coming out or whatever. And again, not in the script, but as an artist, I'm going, all right, yeah, that's what I think she would do. I could be totally off. And Joss could be like, what the hell is this? What are you doing to my story? But so far, I haven't heard anything.
It's a good
so.
Thing to have.
Is there plans to do a follow-up from Leaves on the Wind? Because I believe it's only 6 issues, and then we got to wait for more.
I would love that more than anybody, and I know every fan out there would probably love Serenity to come out every month. Joss is very particular about Serenity. He has said that I'm not interested in doing a monthly book. I'm more interested in doing a story when a story needs to be told. So it's, I guess you could say it's more about the quality than the quantity. And in this case, with Zach Whedon, his brother, obviously coming on board, there was a story that they conceived that needed to be, or that they wanted to tell, and said, yes, this is the story we want to tell. As far as the next story they want to tell, or he wants to tell, who knows? It's been about a year almost. There was a free comic book day little 8-page insert, which, you know, was about the most recent thing. But unfortunately, I think this might be a while before we get something else as meaty, because this is also the longest miniseries we've had of Serenity thus far.
Yeah. This is definitely the best run out of the other books, and it's nice.
Well, humility will prevent me from disagreeing with you, so thank you.
I've read them all, but this one takes the cake. It's the first book that happens after the movie. Mm-hmm. It's the most new information we've gotten since the movie. But you know, like I said, huge fan of all your work. You're a true master storyteller.
Thank you.
Through the visual arts.
Appreciate it.
We're gonna end this interview on a awesome random question.
Oh boy.
What's your drink of choice?
What's my drink of choice?
Drink of choice.
I'm not an alcohol drinker, so
doesn't matter.
And I probably was doing it. Mountain Dew all the
Mountain
way.
Dew.
And I love that they have all these flavors now.
Which one's your favorite flavor?
That blue one, that blueberry something, not the Baja, but there's a blue one.
You can only get that at Taco Bell. What's going on there?
Yeah, the Baja one.
Right?
Yeah, and it's funny. I've actually got it in the bottle. You can get it in the bottle, but
really?
It actually tastes better at Taco Bell, strangely enough.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Georges Genti, you can find him at Taco Bell.
There you go.
Drinking
Bring
Baja
me a Mountain Dew and I'm yours.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. All right, we're back. Just kind of wrapping everything up and reflecting.
Yeah. It was, the con itself has been great. got some good books. Was able to flesh out my collection of The Goon a little bit more.
Nice.
And
you don't read too many comics. You got a couple that you're into, but overall,
yeah,
do you feel like this experience kind of opened you up a little bit more to new stories and new artists that you weren't formerly familiar with?
I'll probably try to do a better job of swinging by the local comic book shop and just seeing what grabs my attention.
Right on.
I can't promise I'll get to where you are anytime soon, but I'll definitely keep an eye out. It was definitely neat, you know, talking to different artists, and you know, some of them were kind enough to give us samples of their work, so we could, something that I can check out myself and see what I think of it.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, once again, we'd like to thank everybody involved with Heroes Con for letting us come out and document and record.
And giving us some swanky
press passes. And, you know, thanks to all the artists who are willing to take some time out of their very busy schedule and making some time for us to interview. Please, check us out on Twitter. We will be posting all the Twitter handles and any kind of contact information for those artists and creators that we can.
And check out the pictures. We'll put them up on Twitter, I guess, and Facebook.
They will be on Twitter. They will be on Facebook.
There's a bunch of them.
Look, if you took a picture with us, if you are currently holding a damn Art Majors and you took a picture with us, it's going to be there.
Or
you're going to want to check us out.
Take a picture of where you put your damn Art Majors sticker.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
We'd love to see what you guys did with your stickers. So
yeah.
Put them up, you know, hashtag damn Art Majors at damn Art Majors. And
definitely.
So my feet are blistered. I am sweaty. I'm broke.
Why is that, Adam? Why are your feet blistered?
I lost my car.
That's right, folks. Adam managed to lose his car, but he was not under the influence of any illicit substance or any legal substance. I mean, he was, I guess you could say, under the influence of frustration. He had probably the worst hotel experience. I mean, this is a man who goes to a hotel with a reservation.
And we're not going to take the reservation.
They can take the
reservation. They can take the reservation all day, but they can't hold the reservation.
This he went to the hotel. He gets his key. He opens the door to his room, and what does he find lying on the bed? What do you find lying on the bed?
Some dude totally passed out in his underwear.
That was room number one.
They gave me a second room.
Oh, that's very nice of them.
I took my second key and I went up to my second room, and sure enough, suitcases, messed up bed. Clearly, someone was there. So went back downstairs to the lovely lady Nicole. I just vaguely remember hearing her name, and asked Nicole, "Hey, I'm not staying here. Please, I don't want to be charged. I'm going to go sleep on the floor of my friend's hotel, which was far superior than the Red Roof Inn for $50 a night."
What really, I think the thing that, to me, that is the most sketchy about all of that isn't the fact that there were people in your room. It's the fact that they just gave out keys.
Right.
To you. They don't even know you. They gave you a key, and there was other people. You could have just gone through their stuff and just picked up a bag. Absolutely. And been like, well, this is my bag now, still not staying here.
I could have got in bed with that dude and just cuddled a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he would have woken up and been like, what's going on? And he'd just be like, well, this is my room, so.
Well, they gave me a key, and I guess we're going to be roomies.
I thought you came with the bed.
Yeah. So, you know what? I don't care. Do not get a hotel room at the Red Roof Inn by the Charlotte Airport. I'm going to go on.
You're going to name the hotel.
Nicole was very cordial. I will say she probably was not very good at her job if she was not aware what rooms were occupied and what rooms weren't. But she was polite. She didn't argue with me. She didn't charge me for the room as far as I know. I'm just saying, yep. I slept on the floor of Dutters and his buddy Tony, who you'll meet later on No Big Two Comic Review. They're staying in a nice Hyatt Place suite. And I slept on a lovely floor that was 10 times more attractive than the bed of this friggin' Red Roof Inn.
Nice. Nice. Tony and I definitely didn't mind having you sleep on our floor, and we're glad that we could accommodate you in your time of need. Adam, and you know, he notifies Anthony and I that he's going to need a place to crash. We're like, yeah, sure, that's fine. Well, Google Maps is a little frustrating when it comes to finding the Hyatt Place in downtown Charlotte, and he didn't quite located, so he just decided, you know what, I'm going to park nearby, I'm going to pull into a parking deck, and I'm just going to walk there. But at this point, the hotel is
$5 for the whole night. Where do I go wrong?
Yeah, not a problem. Parks his car like anyone else would, gets out, walks around for a bit, can't quite find it. Anthony and I have to go meet him halfway. We find him, walk back to the hotel. What's funny is, you make a joke. I don't even know if I'll be able to find my car. We laugh about it. We go about our evening.
I know that it began with either a G or an H.
Yeah.
A G or an H. How hard could that be?
We get some good pizza, drink a few beers.
Oh, the hotel lounge where all the creators and illustrators were hanging out. That was a blast. I did not overdrink, and I had already parked and forgot where I was before this event occurred.
Yep. Next morning, we all wake up, and Adam's like, well, I probably need to go move my car, and I need to put some of my stuff away, and yeah, that's fine. So he heads off to go do that, and I get a kind of a panicked text message. I mean, it's a text message, so there's no real anything. Hold on, let me see if I can pull my text message out here. Found, all right, I get a text. Found the garage, just not the car. And then I respond, good luck. Hopefully not too many floors, because I'm a real helpful ass.
Eight.
And then I send him a text. Did you grab the stickers we were handing out at Heroes? His response is, can you come with your cat and help me?
He did say cat.
Can you come with your cat and help me? My response was, huh? At which point Anthony, which you weren't there, Anthony turns to me and goes, he probably meant car. And I immediately responded with, why does he need my car? And then I say, we're already heading to the con. And I respond with some very helpful information. Hit panic button. Follow the sound.
Yep. And then I plead.
Then I get another text. Dude, I bead your help for real. I'm going to pass out looking it.
I think I meant to say looking for it. And, no, bead was right. I bead your help.
Well, needless to say, the text... I told Anthony, and we both decided, all right, we need to go give him a hand. So we went, we helped him, we looked around, wasn't there, looked at another parking deck, it wasn't there. But Adam swears this is the parking deck. Absolutely swears.
I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of why I believe this was the parking deck.
We were kind enough to use the hotel the building security footage. The security officer was kind enough to roll through it.
Which was really cool, by the way. I mean, like, hindsight, like, the situation really sucked, and I just wanted to know what was going on. But, like, hindsight, that was pretty cool. The security footage.
Yeah.
So, we based...
Big brother.
We figured out what time I would have pulled in here based on the distance from the hotel and the texts.
Yep.
We check two security cameras, the two main entrances. I'm not there.
Yeah, never drove in.
I'm not there. And I'm freaking out because I know the color of the lot. I know the buttons that I pushed. I know the entry.
And I have to say, like, you all are sitting there with buttons. Yeah, the button you push to get your ticket when you drive into a parking deck, half of them in Charlotte are square. But this particular place had a round button. Also, the deck where he's actually parked at had
a round button. And it freaked me out. I'm like, I was here.
And he remembered the color yellow, which the parking deck we were checking initially had a yellow floor for visitors.
Right. And all the artwork on the wall.
It did have a lot of art because we were right near the Mint Museum. In fact, it was the Mint Museum parking deck.
So,
But very,
very
kind security staff. Yeah. Very helpful, very helpful despite the situation.
We checked out another garage where I knew the car wasn't, but, you know, just
to
cross T's, dot I's.
And then we kind of, it wasn't really an epiphany. It was more so just
we remembered one of my favorite movies, Ashton Kutcher, Sean William Scott, Dude, Where's My Car? Awesome movie, not an awesome experience. So we decide, let's retrace the steps.
Yep.
That I drove. And like a bloodhound, I got swimming with, I remember this. I remember I did this. I remember I did this. I remember I turned here. I remember I went up this hill. I remember I got cut off right here. One clue after another.
Probably about 8 city blocks away from where we were checking. We found the parking deck, which, folks, it began with an H.
Not a G.
And
was yellow.
It was yellow. There was artwork at every stairwell and
what
elevator.
Shape was...
It had a circular button.
That's right.
And his car was exactly where he didn't remember he left it.
I estimate, you and Tony walked about 4 miles... I had a 2-mile head start.
Yeah.
We started this hunt. I started this hunt at 7 in the morning. We found the car.
No, it was a little bit later than that. Because it was probably about 7:30. Yeah, about 7:30.
We found the car around 11.
So for me, the hunt started at about 8:30.
Mm-hmm. I have never seen a more beautiful sight than my 2006 Jeep Liberty. I quivered from the inside out. My eyes
started to water. You're laughing. Dude,
I know, emotional. There was a I remember when we turned the corner and heard your car beep.
I felt like
you
and I were folks, on a lifeboat and someone saw our flare.
Yeah. There was a physical change in his body language when he turned the corner and saw his car and honked the horn with the it was an emotional roller coaster. Dude, folks,
you saw me. I almost chucked my keys and I stopped myself mid swing because I knew I would just make situations worse. Oh my god, the feeling was so unreal, and I don't know. I have no idea. This will be one of those days that haunts me. Yeah. And unfortunately, we had set up some early morning interviews with some artists that unfortunately didn't pan out. And hopefully we could get them on the show at a later date. But man, I mean,
yeah, no, that was insane. That was insane.
I really thought I was going to leave Charlotte without my car. I really thought Charlotte ate my car and I just needed to cut my losses and just leave. I really thought that was going to happen.
But folks, all right, the moral of the story is Heroes Con, a lot of fun. Keep track of your parking tickets. Keep track of where you park. Take a photo.
You know why? If you don't do these things, you can't go back.
Yeah.
You can't go back.
Yep.
Because time travel is a bitch.
And the next one will be better.
See ya.